This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Opened yesterday's show with a guttural primal scream, and I will open today's with a guttural primal fart sound. That's how I feel after watching that game last night. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here with you all. It's not really. Today was a rough one getting up in the morning. I'll just tell you that right now. But I'm here and I'm happy. I'm happy to see my friends, Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Happy to see my friend Ben Higgins. Today is Golfer's Day, so I feel like it's a very special day for you. Happy Golfer's Day to you.
Thank you.
And happy Wednesday.
Day before the Masters. Seems appropriate that today would be Golfer's Day, although heard some bad news this morning. They're expecting a lot of rain tomorrow in Augusta.
Every effing year, I feel like this happens.
Like 50-mile-an-hour winds and rain.
Every year with this
good
bit.
Chance that at the very least, tee all times will be delayed several hours
every
tomorrow.
Year.
You're probably happy because I won't be distracted at all because there won't be any golf during our show whatsoever tomorrow.
That's a good point.
All right, hang on. Casual, not even really golf fan, Paul. Wasn't going to watch this much this weekend anyways. Why don't they just move it to, like, May?
It's a great question. It's a great
put another tournament somewhere else
tradition.
This month, this
Bro,
weekend. Just move it up.
Move it up.
I feel like this
every
does happen.
Every single year. The gnarliest weather we've ever seen in Augusta.
Sunday, I'm sure it'll be gorgeous.
Right.
It'll look great on TV.
But
all
you're
that.
Jamming 100. It's just
move it up
every
like 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Every year.
You know, I mean,
it's
if you really, if you want
the
answer to that question, I mean, then you're moving the next major, the PGA Championships in a couple of weeks.
Good.
You have to move that earlier. So then it hits the weather. Ultimately, I mean, they get it in every single year and sometimes they have to work around some rain. Sometimes they don't, but Augusta National actually closes for the summer after the Masters. They don't open again until September or so. So this is the last week of the year that Augusta National Golf Club is open until the fall. It's not a course that it's too hot down there. That's why they feel like you wait any longer, it gets miserably sticky, hot in Georgia.
At least dry.
So, I don't know that it's dry. Their summers are pretty wet, and they get those summer storms. So I bet they picked the calendar week that they felt like, we're pretty, that's as good as it gets. Now, most places in the country aren't us.
Well, that's as good as it gets. Why does it always do this?
Have every major in San Diego, you'd probably have the best luck with weather, but they
should
like
do that.
To,
it's a great
they
idea.
They do like to have things in different places.
Should do every All-Star game here. Yeah. Should have done every Super Bowl here. You know, maybe we would have kept the team. Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. The Masters does start tomorrow. I love some of the, and I'm, you know, only a few year golf fan now. Like, I'm still a fan. I don't play nearly as much as I used to. Not even nearly close. I don't practice anymore. It's mostly because I can't play a lot. So I'm like, what am I practicing for something I can't play a lot for? It feels kind of counterproductive.
You got baseball right now.
Well, I got baseball
and it's
now.
It's hard to do both at the same time because the one swing affects the other.
You're not going to make my baseball swing or my golf swing any uglier, though. That's the thing. They're both putrid. One is more effective than the other. The baseball swing, as ugly as it is, has really been working this season so far in very limited ABs. But, you know, I used to really like to practice golf with the intent of playing three or four times a week. With Bo in kindergarten now, he gets out earlier. There's just no, I mean, we were playing 2-3 days a week sometimes. It was a lot of fun, but I just can't. When I wasn't a huge golf fan, I was still into the Masters. And it's mostly because of the weird things that happen and have happened at Augusta National. We could talk about some of those today. My dad has a couple great stories. I've shared them before on the air about the new guy that was accepted into Augusta. They had to tell him to stop playing golf so much there. Like, it's a weird place with very weird rules where you walk in and you're not comfortable. Like, I don't think you're ever truly comfortable as a member at Augusta National. There's some really cool stories. We can do that if we need something today to talk about. I don't know how much we can talk about. Just another putrid roller coaster type loss for our San Diego Padres. We will talk about that today. My camera is at a very strange angle. I'm trying to get it figured out. If you guys are so inclined, you can watch us on YouTube. A lot of people have been enjoying the YouTube feed every day, so we certainly appreciate your support there. Shoot us a like, give us a subscribe if you would. Trying to get our subscriber base up. I don't know for what other than just ego, probably. Like, we'd love to have a lot of subscribers. I think it's like Twitter, you know, you want as many followers as you can get. I don't know what that is in us innately, but yeah, we want the biggest subscription base we can get. So give us a subscribe and a like on YouTube if you would.
So you mentioned as I came in today, said you look tired.
Yeah, you look tired. Yeah,
and I feel fine. I'm not tired. I did have an incident as I was driving into work this morning. Very minor, but it's definitely something that I sometimes worry about. Like myself, I'm not afraid to share my opinions, whether it be on sports or other things.
Mostly sports.
I certainly will give you my 2 cents, but you know me. I don't love confrontation. I don't want to push back too much. You know, I respect other people's opinions as well, and I'll leave it at that. So if you watch on the YouTube stream, you probably notice most mornings I have an iced coffee, right?
Yes.
I stop by. It's convenient. I get it from Mickey D's on the app, 99 cents. It's very fast. It's iced coffee, no sugar. I get the same thing every single morning. So I order it, pull in this morning like I always do, and there's usually the same guys working there. So you drive in enough, you know, we friendly, cordial, greet him. And I pull into the window, and I usually see him, like, filling it up, making it like he normally does. And I see him making it, and I see him pump the sugar into it. And I go, and he's handing it to me, and I go, is that mine? I go, no, no sugar. And he goes, yeah, I know. I make your coffee, like, every single day. I know no sugar. Oh, no. And I go, okay, I mean,
when you say you see him pumping the sugar in.
So it's liquid sugar.
Okay.
So, if you order sugar, they'll put like 2 or 3 pumps in and then put the coffee in. So
make a note to bring in. I assume it was just here.
Like he's got just rote movements. Like, you know, you do a job enough and like you out of a habit, you do something you don't even realize you're doing it.
Yeah, for sure. That wasn't intentional.
It wasn't intentional. He wasn't doing anything to me, but I pushed back. I don't usually push back, but I pushed back. I go, you know, no, I mean, I saw you put the sugar in.
God,
and he goes, no. He says, I make your coffee every single day. I know there's no sugar in it. And he just kind of hands it to me and he goes and I take a sip. And of course, yes, there's sugar in it. And it's not the end of the world. I don't hate sugar. It's just not the way I order my coffee. And I just didn't know what to do. Do I have to like walk back in and change? So I just wore it. And I do that sometimes. I'll just, in the interest of peace, I'll just wear it. It's not what I wanted, but I don't want to make a big deal out of it.
Do you know, you guys know me pretty well. You'd be surprised how much I wear it. Right? I want to picture myself as a Larry David type. And if you've watched Curb, you know, Larry David would have said, make me a new coffee. I'm not drinking that. I watched you put, just put it in there.
It was very Larry David-like. Like, how do you convince someone who's absolutely sure they're right?
I've watched that you're wrong.
I mean, I would have to have, like, take a sip of it. Taste it, dude. I promise you. There's sugar in it. Like, he's got...
He was
so sure. Because he does it every day. He doesn't put sugar in it. And I know it's not a big deal. But I just didn't know how to handle it. And I always do that. And I just said, let's just be the good guy here and just take it. And I'll just drink my coffee with some sugar in it today.
Yeah, it's actually... I don't know what it is. And again, I actually enjoy confrontations a lot.
You do more than I do, that's for sure.
But when it comes, like, I like confrontations with Adam, right? And my wife sometimes, and my kids. But when it comes to, like, a restaurant, I mean, we were just at a place, and I ordered something, I got something different, and I go, I'm not sending it back. And Ben, luckily, you were nice enough to say, I'll eat it for you.
That's
and
because you can, I don't want any confrontation.
You didn't want...
I ate your dish just so we didn't have to deal with a confrontation.
You didn't even want me.
No!
It wasn't even your confrontation.
Your confrontations are much more awkward than mine.
Around it.
I did not want to be around it.
My wife is the same way, too. Like, so we're just in our house going... Oh, we didn't want that, but it's okay. It's fine. We don't need it right now. Like, it's so bad. It's a bad quality to have. It just we're like doormats, the doormats of society, Ben and Woods.
But I also think that if everyone was a little less confrontational and nicer about everything, we'd live in a better world. So I try to, you know, set that example and be the guy who's not complaining about everything all the time. And, you know, I can get along. But then it's like, what do you do? What do you do when that happens?
Yeah. See, Jordan makes a good point in the chat. Says, as a diabetic, I get worried something like that will happen every time I order something sugar free. 100%. Yours was just you don't like the taste and you didn't really want the extra sugar and you like it your way. And the McDonald's, I thought it was... Your way. Isn't that their whole bit?
Have it your way. Absolutely.
So instead of me having it my way, I'm going to have it your way today, mister, at the...
I like... Welsh Fryer's stunned that it's 99 cents. He goes, it's like £1.50 where he is. It's only that on the app. It's like $3 or something normally, but if you use the deal
on
the app...
There's a discount to be found, rest assured.
There's a discount to be found. I will find it. And you can use that deal every single day. And I get my large iced coffee, and it lasts me throughout the show, and it's just it works for me for 99 cents. I can't make it for cheaper at home.
We did this a couple years ago, probably. Doesn't Ben have like 100 different food apps
yeah.
on your
so
phone?
So I can get every discount and deal
possible
and point club, so I can cash in on every possible reward. And, you know, lower the average cost of everything just a little bit.
You did. You looked shook. When you walked in.
A little disheveled.
A little just like, I'm like, are you tired? And he's like, no, I'm not tired. I didn't know about the
I was just questioning all my life's choices.
Yeah, that's no, I hear you. I do that a lot as well, man. I'm questioning a lot these days. Today on Ben and Woods, we dive deep into the mind and the very soft heart of Benjamin Higgins.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Coffee with sugar. How is it? It's very sweet.
A little too sweet. No.
See, that's how I like it.
Just a little syrupy sweet for me.
I like my coffee like Winston Wolf. Okay? Lots of cream, lots of sugar. Not satisfied till the spoon is standing straight up in my coffee cup. Hector, why don't you relax in the chat? He says, more Padres talk. My brother, in Christ, Hector. Mm. He says, less giggly. Hector, we got 3 hours and 47 minutes. I'm going to jam so much Padres talk down your gullet that you're going to be so full, okay? So I'm going to need you to relax.
Pace yourself a little
bit. And don't piss me off right now, okay? I'm just telling you. I'm in no mood. I also watched that game. The Padres talk is coming. We have a plan on this show. It's worked for us. Zip it and relax. It's coming. I promise you. Okay, I'm in no mood today. I got two kids busting my balls at home about the talk. This is what's getting to me. my kids are talking back to me, and it's tough. And now Hector's talking back. And now I just feel on the defensive all the time. All right? I'm going to giggle every single day because it's the only thing that gets me through my 24 hours a day, every day. If I didn't laugh, I wouldn't be me. We're going to have fun. We're always going to have fun. If you don't like it, you don't have to listen. Like I tell my kids, if you don't like it, you don't have to eat, dog. You just, hey.
You're choosing confrontation now.
Well, now
you
I'm
didn't
pissed.
You didn't have to choose confrontation.
I don't like back talk from Hector, from Taylor, from Bo, from anybody. Okay? I'm in no mood for
you're
it.
You're going to eat your Ben and Woods,
you're
and
gonna
you're
going
to like it.
If you don't like it, you can go. Okay? Pack your. I told Bo last night, if you find a better place to live, you are more than welcome to go. Pack your bags tonight and go. He just looked at me. I'm like, where would I go? I'm like, that. That's up to you to decide. Okay? I'm over it. We got 3:45 left. I'm telling you, we are going to crush Padres talk for you.
And
we're also going
to
laugh.
When we get to the Padres talk, in fact, when we come back, I'll tell you what else is just really bothers me. We'll get to that. We'll set the menu.
You know what won't bother you? And I don't know exactly when we're going to do it, but just pulled the Incorporator. Jesse Hagman.
Is it good?
It's fantastic.
That'll be
fun. Make sure not to laugh
That'll
at
be
it.
Fun. All right, we'll tell you when.
Going to crap his pants.
We'll tell you when all of that's on its way. Hand out the menus. Get going here. Padres talk. Less sugar in your coffee talk. Coming up next after a check of traffic.
I mean, how dare you, Ben?
Be always sweet, Kelly Danick.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I will say Hector is wearing it like the champion that he is in the chat. Check, Hector, I apologize. I'm on edge, man.
Well, I know why you're on edge.
It's not his fault.
I know why you're on edge.
It's my kid's fault.
No, it's the Padres' fault.
It is.
It's the Padres' fault. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. And I understand the nature of baseball. You're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60, and what happens in the other 40 games determines your season. So you can't get too excited or too down on any single day.
Watch me.
But it's impossible. I guess if...
Are you new here?
Yeah. First time?
I know. But yesterday's show was so cool and so fun.
Yep.
And we all enjoyed it so much as Padres fans. An historic comeback.
So great.
But it kind of cheapens it a little bit when the next day you come out and you just lose 5-1. It does. I know that one day does not impact the next in baseball. You have to go out and perform and execute every single day. And the Padres could win 15-0 today and take the series. And that's a good result. You take 2 or 3 from the Cubs, solid result if they win the game today. And we'll have that perspective tomorrow. But we spent 4 hours and we were so excited about it. But I knew in the back of my head,
you said it,
that there was, there's
that chance.
There's a good chance. There's a very good chance that we'll wake up the next morning feeling like we're feeling right now. And that it's frustrating because it feels like you almost wasted your time getting excited yesterday, which you didn't. It was special. It was fun. It was exciting. It's why we watch baseball and why we enjoy it so much. We're supposed to have fun and enjoy days like that because they don't come that often.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we did. It just would have been a lot nicer if they could have followed it up with another win. I knew they were going to win every game the rest of the season.
Sure.
They're 0-2 this season so far. We talked about it. It was a couple weeks ago. Remember, they beat the Giants a pulled it up here, 13-4 on a Sunday. And I said, all right, here's a test. Let's see how they do. Because we knew how this team would play the next game last year.
Right.
And they lost 6-2.
Yep.
And then yesterday, or 2 days ago, they didn't, like, destroy the other opponent, the Cubs, you know. They scored nine straight,
yeah, but
it was a one-run game.
After being down eight. Right. Yes.
It wasn't like it was a 12-0 win or a 13-1 win, but still, they put up nine runs. You know, let's see how they bounce back.
Let's just play this game. All right, so in Korea, 2-15. Those were the two games. All right, then a week off, they come back. Opening day, 6-3. 6-13. 2-2-3-2-4. 2-9-1. I just up and down. There's not a lot of offensive
for a
consistency.
Run differential of
-3.
It's like space.
I'm doing this off the top of my head.
It's like Space
pretty
Mountain.
Pretty sure it's -3.
Riding this team has got the Space Mountain vibes, and we spent some time off the air this morning talking about the phenomenon known as momentum. Kevin Acey addressed it in his newsletter. We will talk about that today. The fallacy, I guess, that is momentum. I feel like I've seen momentum exist in other cities with other teams. I feel like I've seen it. I feel like I could put my finger on it. I have not seen it here in many, many
years.
We'll
talk about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to set the menu, but let's... The first thing I'm going to say on the menu is we're going to pay off the Incorporator because I need something to cheer me up
right away. Too.
And let's get to it so we don't forget.
Jesse Agler is a magician.
And we can always play it again later, but let's set it up. So yesterday at 8:30, Jesse Agler joined us for his regular Tuesday visit. And Anthony the Butcher gave us the Incorporator word for the day. Here's the here's your setup. It's a very simple definition. Today's word is biblioclept. Someone who steals
like a book stealer.
I was going to make him.
The etymology, I'm sure Jesse could have figured that out. But
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone who steals books.
Biblioclept.
What a great word.
Yeah.
You like the word, but how does it work into a baseball broadcast? So, Paulie,
we go to the top of the sixth inning last night, right here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr.
Here's the 0-2 pitch, and Hap takes inside. One ball and two strikes. Talking about all of Yan Gomes' crazy numbers against the Padres. Trying to look up how rare it is for somebody to have that kind of success against a team when they've had the sort of numbers that he's got against everybody else. You need the record books. 1-2 pitch is low. Two balls and two strikes. We have a little office here on the broadcast booth level where we keep all of the record books and media guides and historical information. And we sent Dave to go fetch one of the record books last inning. Liner foul into the net above the Cub dugout. But it appeared we had been burgled. Some biblioclep got back there.
No.
Ripped off our books.
Major biblioclep.
That was even better.
To report that. Swing and a miss.
They were burgled. Also,
did he just create
burgled.
A completely false
yes.
story
he
in order
made
to
is that a story?
Is that a new Incorporator
he
technique?
Is just genius.
Just fabricate an entire story to make the Incorporator word make sense in the broadcast.
I'd like to acknowledge that recency bias is a real thing. That's one of my favorite Incorporators
yeah,
ever.
That's so good.
When he can tell a story and he goes, 3-2 pitch, like, and he still calls the game, gets right back into the story. He made up a story. You got Tony jumping in there.
Liner foul into the net above the Cub dugout, but it appeared we've been
burgled.
Burgled.
Some biblioclep got back there, ripped off our books.
Major biblioclep.
I have to report that.
That is so good. Well done.
Tony was mixing up his Spanish because the library is a biblioteca.
Bibliotech.
But a biblioclept.
Biblioclept, excuse me.
Yeah, it's a book thief, Tony. You learn something new every single day.
Phenomenal. Well done, so Jesse good. Agler. All right, let's
so
get into
good.
This.
All right, so coming up, yeah, we will get to our Padres wrap-up and Joe's performance on the three-year anniversary of his no-hitter. I mean, four shutout innings, and then it just went... Went to hell in a handbasket.
Ooh, surprised you said hell.
All so wow. I was frustrated last night.
Wow. Cursing
we will,
and stuff? Holy cow.
We will get to take on Woods and don't done. Do this in our 7 o'clock hour. It is our Major League Wednesday Adam Jones, 7:35. Brett Boone will be back with us at 8:35 this morning. Get some baseball stories, perspective on the start of the season. Interesting to talk to Adam Jones about the Orioles calling up their major prospect. Jackson Holliday is coming to the big leagues, according to reports, as soon as today, maybe so.
Yeah, and he's like the fifth best hitter on their AAA team right now. That's how good everybody is doing. I think they're at Virginia. Yeah.
The Tides.
And they're just mashing right now.
So and then final hour, Randall Report. Jen Sturger is going to check in. She's going to be in town for a comedy show, so we'll talk to her at 9:35. And that's your menu for a Wednesday edition of Ben and Woods. Our Padres wrap-up coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. You can listen to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam covering everything going on with the Padres. Find it at 97.3thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. I saw Sammy last night. I went down to the game just for the first three innings, but I had a few minutes during my Channel 10 shift, and I saw Sam, and I was sitting in the press box, and all of a sudden, a bag of peanuts gets hurled at me from behind.
Hacksaw.
No. One Coach. Randall Leo Jones.
Just hit you in the side of the head.
Peanuts, you little P-word.
And I said, can I have these? He goes, yeah.
That's why I threw them to you, dummy.
I started eating some peanuts. It was good to see Randy. I asked him, since they were talking about Joe Musgrove, they had a video for the anniversary of the no-hitter. And I said, oh, Randy, yeah, I was a little, you know, I didn't get to see Randy pitch. I was too young to enjoy his prime. I said, I know, I mean, you were a ground ball pitcher, so you throw like an 8-hit shutout. You gave up a lot of hits. What's the closest you ever came to a no-hitter? And he said, I once took a perfect game into the 8th inning, and then shortstop threw one away. Two-base error, so there goes the perfecto. And the next batter bloops in a single, and that was the only hit I gave up, but I did win that game 2-1. But I thought his more interesting story, he said, I once threw a 10-inning, one-hit shutout. God, and the only hit, 7th inning, a little dribbler in front of the mound. It was the only one. Oh. Got to the 10th inning, and bottom of the 10th had a walk-off home run. So it ended 1-0, and they won it on a one-hit, 10-inning shutout by Randy Jones.
Yeah, I don't get the sense he had some really great offensive teams playing behind him back in those days. And, you know, I would hate to see our beloved Padres start to follow that form, Ben. And when you see things that happen like last night, that's what really gets your haunches up and makes you a little bit concerned because, you know, look, I understand. I saw, you know, Sarah's tweeting about this young pitcher, Ben Brown, last night and the stuff that he has. And this stuff was good. I mean, he throws hard, but they all throw hard for the most part.
That knuckle curve was pretty impressive,
nasty.
Actually.
Yeah. I get it, man. The guy, again, he's a young pitcher. He hasn't pitched very well. That trend of pitchers like that cruising into Petco Park and absolutely dominating a lineup full of veterans, really almost top to bottom, other than, you know, Jackson Merrill, maybe. He's a rookie. But, you know, these are guys that have been around a long time. They've seen their fair share of 95, 96 miles an hour, okay? They have. And to go out there and put up that offensive performance was offensive, actually, last night watching that. And you just kind of wondered, what is the problem? You know, what is the problem? And the momentum game to game, I think is a real thing. Xander Bogaerts getting banged at third was tough. And we'll talk about all this.
Yeah, let's get into it. We'll have our Padres wrap up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Well, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's not your fault.
First pitch from Musgrove to Gomes, swung on, hit in the air to deep left center field. Jackson Merrill is back. He'll watch. It's going to go. Try to warn you about Yan Gomes. First home run of the year, and the first run of the night. Cubs lead it 1-0. Here's the pitch, and that's it in the air to deep left. Hillfrog going back to watch. Nothing he can do. This one into the second deck. A grand slam. Second home run of the inning for the Cubs. And a 1-0 game has just become a 5-0 game. 3-1, hit in the air to deep left field. That'll get it going. Ian Happ back at the wall, looking up. Gonna go! Eggy Rosario, second home run of the year. He's got 4 hits this season. All of them have gone for extra bases. And the Padres are on the board. It's 5-1 here in the sixth.
Teams keep trying to sneak heaters by Eggy, and it's just not a good idea.
1-0 pitch, grounded to third base. Charged by Madrigal, he's got it. Runs it part of the way, then fires across the diamond in time. And the ball game is over. 1-2-3, bottom of the ninth, turned in by Adbert Alzolay. And this time, no drama for the Cub bullpen as their 5-run fifth stands up. And they even this series at a game apiece.
Well, he's got a nice big arm. You know, he's got some velocity. You know, he's coming at guys. He was in and out of the zone effectively. You know, he was able to really make pitches when he needed to. We just couldn't, you know, put anything together consistently against him. He did a nice job.
Mike Schilt, the guy who went to Stephen Kolek out of his bullpen in the fifth inning, did not work out for the San Diego Padres, losing 5-1. And Woods, you just brought up the idea maybe some momentum would carry over from the comeback win. Clearly it didn't. Although, you know, they started the game, Xander doubled, and you're going, okay.
All right.
Picking up right where
here
you left off. Here we go.
Just had the same thought.
And then, of course, on a fly ball to center field to Cody Bellinger, Xander tries to tag up, move to third.
Out by a mile.
Gets thrown out, and that was pretty much the last great scoring chance. They had the one solo home run you heard from Eggy Rosario, but they didn't put together much in the way of rallies or opportunities to score. Manny had a 2-out double, but just was no offense to be found against Ben Brown and his start for the kind of emergency start for the Cubbies yesterday.
Thought Kevin Acey summed it up really well in his daily newsletter from the UT. Says, good morning. Talking about momentum in baseball is setting yourself up to seemingly look silly.
Yeah, no question.
The saying goes that momentum is only as good as that night's pitcher. And last night, momentum's aim was Ben Brown.
Yeah, well, okay. So by that logic, then, momentum is only as good as that night's starting pitcher. Well, we had Joe Musgrove on the mound, and they had Ben Brown. So I felt really confident in being it. Now, again, knowing that I've seen this story play out at Petco Park so many times, that's on me then for feeling. So every time we win a game, a close game.
I lost money last night.
I did too. Every time we win a close game, you know, have a comeback, whatever. Is that going to be who this team's identity is? Yeah, you come out flat the next day. Like, because that can't happen. And to not, I'm shocked. Like, it's almost unfathomable to me that they lost that game last night after the vibes from the night before.
The way they lost.
You know,
slugfest, you lose 7-6. I could maybe wrap my head around that. They just had nothing.
Just
they were lifeless.
Absolutely nothing going, man, the whole game. So it's frustrating, dude. It's frustrating. And again, right when you feel like you've exercised a few of the demons from last year, they're like, no, we're still here. We live here, actually, at Petco Park. Yan Gomes, I don't get it. He's had 4 hits all year. 2 of them came last night. He absolutely owns this franchise. I don't understand it. It's a weird baseball anomaly. Years down the road, he will tell his grandkids, I literally owned the San Diego Padres. What was his numbers against us?
Oh, they're ridiculous. I didn't hear what Jesse said, but I know. I was, like, surprised that Craig Counsell would bat him 9th. Like, are you earning your money? Do you have any idea how much Yan Gomes owns the Padres? What? I was like, thank goodness he's only batting 9th and might get one less at-bat because the guy kills the Padres.
Like, Craig Counsell should be fired for not playing him the night before in the game that they lost. Like, bro, you got to lose your job. Do you not know what he does at Petco Park? He has a stand set up at Petco Park. Yan Gomes.
I mean, even after the home run, he's got a 600 OPS. He's off to a horrific bad start, but he just always owns the Padres. So again, you say the Padres were lifeless. I will say they were ineffective for sure. I don't know whether
351 career hitter against the Padres.
I don't know whether they have. Did the Cubs have life? I mean, they went 8 of the 9 innings without scoring or doing anything either. But they happened to have the one inning with the Gomes home run, and then it just kind of unraveled for Joe very quickly in the fifth. you know, loaded the bases. And I was kind of surprised that Mike Schilt even had the ability to go to a reliever that fast. But he explained after the game that, you know, I was watching the pitch count and Joe hadn't been that efficient even in his four shutout innings. Here's what Mike Schilt said about the pitching change in the fifth going to Steven Kolek with the bases loaded and nobody out.
I mean, he had some traffic. You know, a little bit of traffic in the first, light traffic, second, third, fourth. Went out, got a ball up to Gomes, put a swing on it. Had a longer bat to Hap, you know, I think a seven-pitch walk. You know, Suzuki gets another base hit. And, you know, started to have bigger misses. You know, didn't locate the first pitch to Belly. Grazed him, but got him. And at that point, you know, you're sitting there at 85 pitches in the fourth with nobody out. And like I say, when the misses get a little bit bigger, you know, it's not that, you know, it's a decision, you know, that I made. It's tough to take Joe Musgrove out of any situation, especially the bases loaded, the kind of competitor he is.
He was unhappy.
But again, you know, some traffic earlier and sitting at 85 in the fourth, nobody out, or in the fifth, rather, after four. So we go to Kolek, ground ball guy. High ground ball guy, and he can't locate his sinker first two pitches and goes to a different pitch, which, you know, you got to adjust a little bit, and threw the sweeper and, you know, we all put a swing on it. How was that?
He did. And I thought at the time, you know, obviously the hindsight managing is super easy to do. I'm maybe the best on the planet at hindsight managing. Like, no one's better than me and all of us out there. I'm so good. After it happened, no, obviously you don't want to go to Kolek there, Mike. I think everybody knew that, right?
Logic being he's a ground ball guy.
Yeah.
And they talked about it on the broadcast after the fact.
After the fact.
He did dial that slider in.
Yep. He did.
Struck out four, two innings, didn't give up anything else.
I mean,
after his third pitch.
One bad pitch.
We were talking about it before the show. Like, what were you looking for out of Kolek there? You probably wanted a ground ball double play.
You know, you
give up the one run.
But you know who can get you a ground ball, and I have a lot more faith in getting me a ground ball, even with his misses, is Joe Musgrove. At 85 pitches, okay. I mean, I understand, you know, it's early in the season and all that. Me, personally, I'm riding with my guy, and I'll defend that one. That one is one I'll go, yeah, man, it's Joe Musgrove. Like, I'm going to ride with him. I trust him. He's a veteran. He's done this so many times, make your head spin. And again, you know, Kolek now, he's not exactly, it was impressive that he was able to dial it in, but the damage had been done,
right.
You know, at that point.
I don't have the numbers, but yeah, I know Kolek struggled with it, and I feel like other Padres relievers have struggled with this. Even when they have good performances, they come in and they walk the first guy,
yeah,
or they give a hit to the first guy. They are having trouble coming in out of the bullpen and just getting that first guy out. And when you're a reliever, oftentimes you're being put in a critical situation. That's a problem right now for the Padres bullpen. Even when they're effective, that first batter, you know, finding that strike zone, getting your spin right on the first batter is absolutely critical. You've got to be ready when you go into the game. You don't get like a starter. You know, starter maybe can take an inning. I mean, Yu Darvish usually kind of gets locked in as he goes. As a reliever, you don't have that luxury of getting locked in as you go. You got to come in and you got to be locked in from pitch one, or the game can be lost right there.
Yeah, starting pitchers, you find it. We've seen guys struggle and then
but
get
relievers,
locked in.
No.
I mean, if we let him go, you know, he's got to pass through waivers, right? And then the Mariners, you know, send him back to the Mariners or whatever.
They will happily take him back.
They'll happily take him back.
You will lose him if you don't keep him on the big league roster.
But you have Alec Jacob. You got Adrian Morejon.
Jeremiah Estrada is looking really
looking
good right now. He had a 3-strikeout save last night for El Paso, and he may be the next guy to call up. Now, that doesn't mean it's for Kolek. You could send Brito down. You used him for two innings yesterday. Stretch him out as a starter. He wasn't bad in his two innings, didn't strike out anybody, didn't give up any runs, but you could bring up Jeremiah Estrada as another option out of the bullpen. I wouldn't be surprised if the Padres were looking at maybe another arm or a different option at this point. It's not time to panic, but there's always moves you can make and tinkering with the roster throughout the entire 162 games. I'm less concerned about the pitching, though. As I said, the Cubs didn't score in 8 of the 9 innings. Pitching wasn't necessarily the problem. It's the offense that is the issue for the San Diego Padres. It's not consistent enough. Even with the superstars, they're hot, they're cold. And Manny was cold. He's now getting locked in. He looked good the last two days, last night. Took some really good swings. He may be coming, you know, into that Manny form, and maybe a hot streak is coming for Manny Machado, but it doesn't help that much unless the guys around him, you know, if Jake goes cold right now or Fernando goes cold right now and Manny gets hot, that's just the same old Padres.
Yeah.
It's like, can you guys just once all at the same time feel like you're locked in for a while? Not just one game, not just three innings, but how about a week? Give me a week
where the
offense just kind of, you know, a bunch of guys are performing. And we're going to talk about momentum. To me, momentum doesn't exist. But what does exist are teams that have multiple guys who bat near the top of the order all hot for a week or two. And when that happens, they win a bunch of games. And the Padres, I can't remember the last time that they all were hot. Now, they don't all slump for a week either. They just have a good day and then a bad day, and a good day and a bad day. And ultimately in baseball, you'll put up your numbers when you do that. But man, is it hard to win a bunch of games consecutively when you just three times a week, your guys just go quiet offensively.
Yeah, you'll put up your numbers, but you're not putting up the most important stat, and that's the win. That's the dub, and that's what's been eluding this team, the consistency of being able to string wins together, which, I don't know, man. Like, again, I feel like I've seen momentum. I feel like I've seen momentum in other cities. I feel like it does exist. It's very hard to quantify, obviously, but you think about teams when they go on a 10-game winning streak. I don't know what that momentum is. Is it everyone's just vibing and in a good mood? And
you can listen to Sam Levitt's podcast, Inside San Diego Baseball. Sam covering everything going on with the Padres. Find it at 97.3thefansd.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcast. I saw Sammy last night. I went down to the game. Just for the first three innings, but I had a few minutes during my Channel 10 shift, and I saw Sam, and I was sitting in the press box, and all of a sudden, a bag of peanuts gets hurled at me from behind.
Hacksaw.
No. One Coach. Randall Leo Jones.
Just hit you in the side of the head.
Peanuts, you little p-word.
And I said, "Can I have these?" He goes, "Yeah."
That's why I threw them to you, dummy.
I started eating some peanuts. It was good to see Randy. I asked him, since they were talking about Joe Musgrove, they had a video for the anniversary of his no-hitter, and I said, "Oh, Randy, yeah, I was a little, you know, I didn't get to see Randy pitch. I was too young to enjoy his prime." I said, you were a ground ball pitcher, so you throw like an 8-hit shutout. You gave up a lot of hits. What's the closest you ever came to a no-hitter? And he said, I once took a perfect game into the 8th inning, and then shortstop threw one away, two-base error, so there goes the perfecto. And the next batter bloops in a single, and that was the only hit I gave up, but I did win that game 2-1. But I thought his more interesting story, he said, I once threw a 10-inning, one-hit shutout. God, and the only hit, 7th inning, a little dribbler in front of the mound. It was the only one.
Oh.
Got to the 10th inning, and bottom of the 10th had a walk-off home run. So it ended 1-0, and they won it on a one-hit, 10-inning shutout by Randy Jones.
Yeah, I don't get the sense he had some really great offensive teams playing behind him back in those days. And, you know, I would hate to see our beloved Padres start to follow that form, Ben. And when you see things that happened like last night, that's what really gets your haunches up and makes you a little bit concerned because, you know, look, I understand. I saw, you know, Sarah's tweeting about this young pitcher, Ben Brown, last night and the stuff that he has. And this stuff was good. I mean, he throws hard, but they all throw hard for the most part.
That knuckle curve was pretty impressive,
nasty.
Actually.
Yeah. I get it, man. The guy, again, he's a young pitcher. He hasn't pitched very well. That trend of pitchers like that cruising into Petco Park and absolutely dominating a lineup full of veterans, really almost top to bottom, other than, you know, Jackson Merrill, maybe. He's a rookie. But, you know, these are guys that have been around a long time. They've seen their fair share of 95, 96 miles an hour, okay? They have. And to go out there and put up that offensive performance was offensive, actually, last night watching that. And you just kind of wondered, what is the problem? You know, what is the problem? And the momentum thing, momentum game to game, I think is a real thing. Xander Bogaerts getting banged at third was tough, and we'll talk about all this.
Yeah, let's get into it. We'll have our Padres wrap up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
It's not your fault.
First pitch from Musgrove to Gomes, swung on, hit in the air to deep left center field. Jackson Merrill is back. He'll watch. It's going to go. Try to warn you about Yan Gomes. First home run of the year, and the first run of the night. Cubs lead it 1-0. Here's the pitch, and that's it in the air to deep left. Profar going back to watch. Nothing he can do. This one into the second deck, a grand slam. Second home run of the inning for the Cubs, and a 1-0 game has just become a 5-0 game. 3-1, hit in the air to deep left field. That'll get it going. Ian Happ back at the wall, looking up. Gonna go! Aggie Rosario, second home run of the year. He's got four hits this season. All of them have gone for extra bases. And the Padres are on the board. It's 5-1 here in the sixth.
Teams keep trying to sneak heaters by Eggy, and it's just not a good idea.
1-0 pitch, grounded to third base. Charged by Madrigal. He's got it. Runs it part of the way, then fires across the diamond in time. And the ball game is over. 1-2-3, bottom of the ninth, turned in by Adbert Alzolay. And this time, no drama for the Cub bullpen as their five-run fifth stands up, and they even this series at a game apiece.
Well, he's got a nice big arm. You know, he's got some velocity. You know, he's coming at guys. He was in and out of the zone effectively. You know, he was able to really make pitches when he needed to. We just couldn't, you know, put anything together consistently against him. He did a nice job.
Mike Schilt, the guy who went to Stephen Kolek out of his bullpen in the fifth inning, did not work out for the San Diego Padres, losing 5-1. And Woods, you just brought up the idea maybe some momentum would carry over from the comeback win. Clearly it didn't. Although, you know, they started the game, Xander doubled, and you're going, okay.
All right.
Picking up right where you left off. Here we go.
Just had the same thought.
And then, of course, on a fly ball to center field to Cody Bellinger, Xander tries to tag out, move to third.
Out by a mile.
Gets thrown out, and that was pretty much the last great scoring chance. They had the one solo home run you heard from Aggie Rosario, but they didn't put together much in the way of rallies or opportunities to score. Manny had a two-out double, but just was no offense to be found against Ben Brown and his start for the kind of emergency start for the Cubbies yesterday.
Thought Kevin Acey summed it up really well in his daily newsletter from the UT. He says, good morning. Talking about momentum in baseball is setting yourself up to seemingly look silly.
Yeah, no question.
The saying goes that momentum is only as good as that night's pitcher. And last night, momentum's aim was Ben Brown.
Yeah, well, okay. So by that logic then, momentum is only as good as that night's starting pitcher. Well, we had Joe Musgrove on the mound, and they had Ben Brown. So I felt really confident in being it. Now, again, knowing that I've seen this story play out at Petco Park so many times, that's on me then for feeling. So every time we win a game, a close game.
I lost money last night.
I did too. Every time we win a close game, you know, have a comeback, whatever. Is that going to be who this team's identity is? Yeah, you come out flat the next day. Like, because that can't happen. And to not, I'm shocked. Like, it's almost unfathomable to me that they lost that game last night after the vibes from the night before.
The way they lost.
You know,
slugfest, you lose 7-6. I could maybe wrap my head around that. They just had nothing.
Just
they were lifeless.
Absolutely nothing going, man, the whole game. So it's frustrating, dude. It's frustrating. And again, right when you feel like you've exercised a few of the demons from last year, they're like, No, no, we're still here. We live here, actually, at Petco Park. Yan Gomes, I don't get it. He's had four hits all year. Two of them came last night. He absolutely owns this franchise. I don't understand it. It's a weird baseball anomaly. Years down the road, he will tell his grandkids, I literally owned the San Diego Padres. What was his numbers against us?
Oh, they're ridiculous. I didn't hear what Jesse said, but I know. I was, like, surprised that Craig Counsell would bat him ninth. Like, are you earning your money? Do you have any idea how much Yan Gomes owns the Padres? Why? I was like, thank goodness he's only batting ninth and might get one less at bat because the guy kills the Padres.
Like, Craig Counsell should be fired for not playing him the night before in the game that they lost. Like, bro, you got to lose your job. Do you not look at? Do you not know what he does at Petco Park? He has a stand set up at Petco Park. Yan Gomes.
I mean, even after the home run, he's got a 600 OPS. He's off to a horrific bad start, but he always owns the Padres. So again, you say the Padres were lifeless. I will say they were ineffective for sure. I don't know whether
351 career hitter against the Padres.
I don't know whether they have. Did the Cubs have life? I mean, they went 8 of the 9 innings without scoring or doing anything either. But they happened to have the one inning with the Gomes home run, and then it just kind of unraveled for Joe very quickly in the fifth. You know, loaded the bases, and I was kind of surprised that Mike Schilt even had the ability to go to a reliever that fast. But he explained after the game that, you know, I was watching the pitch count, and Joe hadn't been that efficient even in his four shutout innings. Here's what Mike Schilt said about the pitching change in the fifth, going to Steven Kolek with the bases loaded and nobody out.
I mean, he had some traffic. You know, a little bit of traffic in the first, light traffic, second, third, fourth. Went out, got a ball up to Gomes, put a swing on it. Had a longer bat to Hap, you know, I think a 7-pitch walk. You know, Suzuki gets another base hit. And, you know, started to have bigger misses. You know, didn't locate the first pitch to Belly. Grazed him, but got him. And at that point, you know, you're sitting there at 85 pitches in the fourth and nobody out. And like I say, when the misses get a little bit bigger, you know, it's not that, you know, it's a decision, you know, that I made. It's tough to take Joe Musgrove out of any situation, especially the bases loaded, the kind of competitor he is.
He was unhappy.
But again, you know, some traffic earlier and sitting at 85 in the fourth, nobody out, or the fifth, rather, after four. So we go to Kolek, ground ball guy. High ground ball guy, and he can't locate his sinker first two pitches and goes to a different pitch, which, you know, you got to adjust a little bit, and threw the sweeper and, you know, Merrill put a swing on it. How was that?
He did. And I thought at the time, you know, obviously the hindsight managing is super easy to do. I'm maybe the best on the planet at hindsight managing. Like, no one's better than me and all of us out there. I'm so good. After it happened, obviously you don't want to go to Kolek there, Mike. I think everybody knew that, right?
Logic being he's a ground ball guy.
Yeah.
And they talked about it on the broadcast after the fact.
After the fact.
He did dial that slider in.
Yep. He did. Struck out four, two innings, didn't give up anything else.
I mean,
after his third pitch.
One bad pitch.
We were talking about it before the show. Like, what were you looking for out of Kolek there? You probably wanted a ground ball double play.
You know who can
give up the one run.
But you know who can get you a ground ball, and I have a lot more faith in getting me a ground ball, even with his misses, is Joe Musgrove. At 85 pitches, okay. I mean, I understand, you know, it's early in the season and all that. Me, personally, I'm riding with my guy. And I'll defend that one. That one is one I'll go, yeah, man, it's Joe Musgrove. Like, I'm going to ride with him. I trust him. He's a veteran. He's done this so many times, make your head spin. And again, you know, Kolek now, he's not exactly, it was impressive that he was able to dial it in, but the damage had been done,
right.
You know, at that point.
I don't have the numbers, but yeah, I know Kolek struggled with it, and I feel like other Padres relievers have struggled with this. Even when they have good performances, they come in and they walk the first guy,
yeah,
or they give a hit to the first guy. They are having trouble coming in out of the bullpen and just getting that first guy out. And when you're a reliever, oftentimes you're being put in a critical situation. That's a problem right now for the Padres bullpen. Even when they're effective, that first batter, you know, finding that strike zone, getting your spin right on the first batter is absolutely critical. You've got to be ready when you go into the game. You don't get like a starter, you know, starter maybe can take an inning. I mean, Yu Darvish usually kind of gets locked in as he goes. As a reliever, you don't have that luxury of getting locked in as you go. You got to come in and you got to be locked in from pitch one, or the game can be lost right there.
Yeah, starting pitchers, you find it. We've seen guys struggle and then
but
get
relievers,
locked in.
No.
I mean, if we let him go, you know, he's got to pass through waivers, right? And then the Mariners, you know, send him back to the Mariners or whatever.
They will happily take him back.
They'll happily take him back.
You will lose him if you don't keep him on the big league roster.
But you have Alec Jacob. You got Adrian Morejon.
Jeremiah Estrada is looking really good right now. He had a 3-strikeout save last night for El Paso, and he may be the next guy to call up. Now, that doesn't mean it's for Colak. You could send Brito down. You used him for 2 innings yesterday. Stretch him out as a starter. He wasn't bad in his 2 innings, didn't strike out anybody, didn't give him any runs, but you could bring up Jeremiah Estrada as another option out of the bullpen. I wouldn't be surprised if the Padres were looking at maybe another arm or a different option at this point. It's not time to panic, but there's always moves you can make and tinkering with the roster throughout the entire 162 games. I'm less concerned about the pitching, though. As I said, the Cubs didn't score in 8 of the 9 innings. Pitching wasn't necessarily the problem. It's the offense that is the issue for the San Diego Padres. It's not consistent enough. Even with the superstars, they're hot, they're cold. And Manny was cold. He's now getting locked in. He looked good the last 2 days. Last night, took some really good swings. He may be coming, you know, into that Manny form, and maybe a hot streak is coming for Manny Machado, but doesn't help that much unless the guys around him, you know, if Jake goes cold right now or Fernando goes cold right now and Manny gets hot, that's just the same old Padres.
Yeah.
It's like, can you guys just once all at the same time feel like you're locked in for a while? Not just one game, not just 3 innings, but how about a week? Give me a week
where the offense just kind of, you know, a bunch of
guys are performing. And we're going to talk about momentum. To me, momentum doesn't exist, but what does exist are teams that have multiple guys who bat near the top of the order all hot for a week or two. And when that happens, they win a bunch of games. And the Padres, I can't remember the last time that they all were hot. Now, they don't all slump for a week either. They just have a good day and then a bad day, and a good day and a bad day. And ultimately in baseball, you'll put up your numbers when you do that. But, man, is it hard to win a bunch of games consecutively when you just 3 times a week, your guys just go quiet offensively.
Yeah, you'll put up your numbers, but you're not putting up the most important stat, and that's the win. That's the dub, and that's what's been eluding this team, the consistency of being able to string wins together, which, I don't know, man. Like, again, I feel like I've seen momentum. I feel like I've seen momentum in other cities. I feel like it does exist. It's very hard to quantify, obviously, but you think about teams when they go on a 10-game winning streak. I don't know what that momentum is. Is it everyone's just vibing and in a good mood and you move the chain? I don't know, but I know that the chain doesn't move here very often, and that's been an issue.
But it works the other way as well. Padres don't go on long losing streaks
either. That's true.
The momentum doesn't... Oh, well, there's a black cloud for a week. No, they could easily come back today and score 9 runs because let's be honest, this is who the Padres were last year, and it's who they seem to be early this year. A team that, depending on who the starting pitcher is, they may have a great day, they may have a terrible day. You don't really know. I mean, if you knew, we'd all be rich. Just go ahead. But unfortunately, it seems to be a little unpredictable, and it just seems to just randomly... Good day, bad day for the San Diego Padres. All right, we'll come back. Padres did make a move yesterday.